joining us now on the phone, Tina Brown. She's the founder of The Daily Beast and the former editor of Vanity Fair. She's also the author of a new book called The Vanity Fair Diaries. Tina Brown, thank you very much.
Delighted to be here.
Nice to have you. So tell us, The Vanity Fair Diaries sound like exactly what they are, which is a diary of your time at Vanity Fair.
Yes, I decided, you know, I was going to write a memoir, and I decided that I would start looking at the material that I wrote during the time that I was editor of Vanity Fair, when I would come in at night, young woman, hardly out of her 20s, got this extraordinary job to turn around what was then a very ailing magazine at Vanity Fair, and I kept a diary all of that time, and in a very kind of, you know, gushing to the page, all the stuff that I was seeing, all the stuff that I was observing as a newcomer to America, these insights and these descriptions of everything that was happening to me then. And as I began to reread them, I thought, this is such an amazing picture of the 80s. It was like, I want to publish a book that actually captures that headlong, rushing, exhilarating time of the 80s, you know, at the speed at which they were lived. And so I shaped the material into a diary narrative of how I turned around Vanity Fair at the height of the, the boom and bust 80s.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Vanity Fair, of course, occupies a legendary status in American magazine culture. And you write in the intro here that in January of 1984, you talk about how Ronald Reagan was on his glide path towards re-election, making the improbable journey from radio announcer to mid-level movie star to union leader to TV host to two-term governor of California to President of the United States. And in fact, there's a diary entry in your book about a time where both the president, Ronald Reagan, and Nancy Reagan walk into the room, and the photographers were able to capture a special moment with them. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, that was in 1985, when the magazine was getting better reviews but still hadn't turned around from its failed launch in the previous year. And I asked Harry Benson, who is the all-time great photographer of presidents in the past, if he would come with me when we got this great shoot with the Reagans at the White House. So we went, and Harry Benson, he's so inventive, took with him a boombox, which certainly dates me to even say such a thing, with a cassette which played Nancy with the Laughing Face by Frank Sinatra. And he set up the boombox and a white screen. And we waited for the Reagans to come by on their way in black tie for their banquet for the president of Argentina. And so we waited, and we heard the kind of rumble of Reagan's voice, and we heard the silvery laugh of Nancy Reagan. And as they came around the door, Harry hits the boombox, Frank Sinatra plays, and Ronnie and Nancy start this foxtrot together. Nancy says to him, "Oh, Ronnie, that's our song, let's dance." And the two of them, as if there was no one there, start to do this wonderful kind of foxtrot in front of this white screen, with Harry Benson leaping up and down. He was a crazy Scotsman with, you know, toilet brush hair. And he's jumping up and down going, "Oh, Mr. President, give your wife a kiss, give your wife a kiss." And he does. The two of them come together in this incredible sort of screen kiss, which, of course, he captures for Vanity Fair. And this shoot with the Reagans became like this cover of them dancing, and inside the Reagan kiss, as we called it. And it just went all over the world. I mean, it just sort of shot the magazine right out of the doldrums into its climb to the top. And I remember thinking, this is not just the kiss of kiss of the Reagans. This is a kiss of life for Vanity Fair. This is going to be an all-time cover shoot. And it has been. It's been reproduced a million times since. And what I really saw in that relationship was, in fact, a political story too, which is that the Reagans' relationship was so absolutely iconic and so important for America's whole thoughts about itself and its mood about itself. And, you know, I call Nancy his joy gene, because whenever he looked at her or whenever she appeared, you know, there was this change in him. And I saw it on the two other occasions that we went to the White House.
I'd like to ask you about that, which is to say that, you know, you talk about Reagan and his and Nancy being the sort of the turnaround for Vanity Fair and giving a stimulation to not only Vanity Fair, but the press at large. Do you see parallels in the Trump, in sort of not only Trump's rise, but in how much he sort of energized the press and created a market for them?
Well, it's a very different kind of market, obviously. I mean, Trump occurs in my diary a lot because, you know, in the 80s I got to know him, and he recurs in the magazine, in the diaries, in the book, quite often as I collide with him, cover him, like him at the beginning, and then end up on his bad side, as so many press do when we actually began to cover his financial, bankruptcies and so on. But, it was both a similar time and a very different time, because it's very interesting. On the night of Reagan's re-election, when he beats Mondale, the scene that we describe in Vanity Fair of you know, the woe of the what we call the Make the World Betterites, the liberals, all saying, you know, this is the end of civilization. You know, this actor has got into the White House. It's a completely vulgarity has won. It's remarkable how similar that mood was, in a sense, but plus 129 Richter scale on the night that Donald Trump won. There was a sense that, oh my gosh, you know, we'll never recover from this reality show star who's taken over. And of course, now it is the mood of America is rising to match Trump, even though, of course, you know, he has great unpopularity numbers. He still has a big, big cadre of supporters who see him as the kind of antidote to, you know, elite liberal sort of whining, if you like.
Well, Tina, that's my question I want to ask you. You made a very controversial statement back in June of last year about Ms. Clinton owning her quote-unquote B, you know, the B word. I have to be careful here.
Own her itch
own her, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
So, do you think, a two-part question, do you think she didn't own it? One of the reasons she did not get elected, and now after the fact, it seems like it's kind of risen a bit. So,
I think that I wrote a column before Hillary ran, which actually told her not to run.
Right, I remember that.
I did not think that it was the right thing for her to run in that 2000 and, the last election, 2016. I felt that there was just too much that was going to come at her.
And you said this on election night, by the way. I watched your interview.
No, I did. I did not feel that it was the year that Hillary could possibly win. And nonetheless, I think that she endured with incredible stalwart, valiant, efforts to make her points, and it was so stacked against her this time, there was just no way that she could pull it off. So, I mean, I have a huge admiration for Hillary and what she's done and how she tried to speak at a time when no one wanted to listen, but nobody did want to listen in that year because Trump was an irresistible, was irresistible candy, and he always was. You know, in the diary, I talk about how his appeal, you know, when I first met Trump, I found him very appealing. He was funny, he was brash, he was amusing, he was outrageous. Of course, I never thought he was going to be president of the United States, but I did find him appealing.
So are you saying
he's much less appealing as the diary goes on, because, you know, then I begin to see the other side of Trump, which was this extraordinarily paranoid and belligerent and angry guy that we really see much more of now.
So you're not saying he's eye candy then?
I can't even know.
Well, there you go. You have the assessment. And by the way, if you're interested in finding out more from Tina Brown, you can buy the book. It's called The Vanity Fair Diaries. Tina Brown, thank you very much for stopping by Mornings on the Mall this morning.
Nice to
speak with you.